Okay, so now we're in chapter 6, using templates. So now we're starting to really dig into App Engine. And as always, these slides and this audio are copyright Creative Commons. So this little picture has been our guide to what we're learning and how we're learning it. And, frankly, we're working quite a way through this thing, and we only have a few things left. This is our request response cycle where our browser makes a get or a post request. By now, hopefully those words, painfully or whatever, make some sense to you, and you know what a get request is and you know what a post request is. You know when they're happening. And we've had now two ways of working in the server where we, we've had the first assignment, which was sort of an old style CGI style, where it just sort of read from standard input and blasted back to standard output. Now we're using this web app, which is the more object-oriented style, which is the easier way. It looks more complicated initially, but frankly, it would be really terrible if you really had to write everything at the low level. And today we're going to start to explore techniques for how to best implement web applications inside of the server. And then, of course, the stuff goes back to your browser. And So templates and Python and web applications and this new thing, Model View Controller, are what we're going to talk about today. So the notion of templates is a way, it's simply a pattern. It's just a pattern that we all pretty much use when we build web applications. And in assignment 5, at the very top of it, there was this big string that I called the form string. And you printed that out, and that was the text for the form. And it wasn't so bad, because it was like 4 lines of HTML. The problem is that given the other assignments that you've done, you can see that HTML grows pretty rapidly. And to make all your HTML sit inside of Python strings would get real ugly really fast. And it also makes it difficult to have multiple developers working on the project. If everything's all jammed into your Python, you might have 4 or 5 people, some of whom are better at Python and others are better at HTML. And if you can break the HTML out into a separate file, much like we break CSS into its own file, it allows us to have multiple people working on projects and bring their own unique skills to this. And so the notion of templates is this notion of extracting the HTML from the Python code into its own file. Now, when we started, we had all our HTML in files, but the problem with having just your HTML in files is that a real web application has dynamic bits that change. It's not just static HTML. So the whole trick of templates is how to both make it look almost like static HTML, but then have these little hotspot areas that we poke some stuff in from Python. So the first program we're going to look at is App Engine 04, and if you want to download that from the sample applications, you can, and then you can have this code sitting in front of you. I didn't give you a handout for this one. I've given you a handout for 06, so we're going to go through 3 programs today. So the program that you wrote this week, the one that said converting your guessing game into a web application, it looked like this. At the top, you had this big ugly form string that is a sort of triple quoted Python string, and that made it a little bit easier and it allowed us to put double quotes in the string and all kinds of stuff. And so that was the form bit. And then the other thing that we would do is we'd write in our self, when we did the get, we would write out a bit more HTML, like good luck. And then we wrote the form out. And that's how we produced the first page. That was both the good luck welcome message and the form. So that, and then we did stuff way down here. I don't have this code down here. But what we're doing is we're mixing the HTML. And again, if you have 800 lines of HTML, it's really going to make your Python look ugly if you put all your HTML somewhere in the Python. So what we try to do is we try to separate, call it separation of concerns. The separation of your markup into HTML and CSS, that's an example of separation of concerns. Just means that we worry about one thing here and we keep separate the worries about the other thing. And it allows not only for you to keep your own mind straight on what's going on in the different parts of your application, but it also allows you to let other people work on your application, and you can hand them a piece and then they can hand you something back. So, you know, you could hand your CSS to somebody and they could work on the CSS while you're working on the rest of the program. They give you back a CSS and then poof, it would look pretty all of a sudden. So the well-written App Engine application doesn't have HTML sitting in Python. Sometimes you throw a little bit here and there and you sort of poke it in, but you generally don't try to put the majority of your HTML. This is a model that of a programming pattern that's very common in web applications. Whether you're doing this in PHP or Java or .NET or Python, App Engine for that matter, this notion of Model View Controller, MVC, is a common notion. And when you get out in the world and you start talking to web application developers, they'll start talking about, oh, that's the model. Oh, that's the controller. Oh, that's the view. So we have a little terminology here. MVC, Model View Controller. It really is, actually, that's not even a good order there. It should really be Controller Model View. I'm going to change that slide. MVC, we say it in that order just because it seems like it rolls off the tongue more easily. But the more logical way would be CMV, Controller Model View. So the controller is your Python code. The Python code is sort of the brains of the operation. It orchestrates everything else that's going on. The model is what we call our sort of abstraction, that abstract concept for the database. Anything permanent, the persistent data that we keep sort of as our application is not running or when the user's gone, you know, all the data. And the view is what it looks like. And so if you think about Facebook, the view is what you're seeing on your screen. The model is, you know, your status updates for the last 5 years. And your controller is the Facebook code that's sort of orchestrating all of this together. And so we have the request response cycle, and this MVC, Model View Controller, is really a pattern that we use within the web server. So the browser does its request, and it sort of, we don't have to write this way. Matter of fact, none of your applications you've written so far are working this way. This will be the first one. Assignment 6 will be the first one that works this way. So what you did before is on that right side that's called the web server, you just did a blob of stuff, right? And you took a request and you sent something back and it was all just a bunch of blob of Python that did it. Now we're going to break our work into 3 separate bits. So when the request comes in, it still comes into your Python code, the controller, and we'll later learn about the model, the place that the data is stored. So the controller, when it receives usually a post request, it's going to update some data potentially, maybe read some data, and then once it's read the data, it goes and grabs the view. This week, what we're talking about is the view, the template. And then the view is in effect sent by the controller back as the HTTP response. So this pattern is called Model View Controller, or MVC. I don't quite, again, don't know why. It just rolls off the tongue better as Model View Controller. Or maybe that's just because I've said it so many times in my life. And so you'll see this MVC lots of places. Ruby on Rails is an example of the implementation of the MVC pattern. Spring MVC and PHP has many MVC patterns as well. Right now we're going to focus on the view and the controller, and we'll soon meet the model. So, what is a template? A template is a file that looks almost completely like HTML. If you look at it, it's like, you know, 90%, 98% HTML, looks just like an HTML file, has a doc type at the top, you know, it's got head and it's got all this stuff in it. But it has these little places, little tiny areas that says, you know, we're actually going to make the final output come from Python. And so this is a very simple template. It looks just like HTML. It has a paragraph tag. It has a form tag. Now you notice it's not in a string anymore because we've actually got this sitting in a file. Okay? But And each template engine, and there's lots of them, each template engine has its own little syntax that, in a sense, extends HTML. So double brace, double curly brace, and open, double open curly brace and double close curly brace are one of the things that we put into these templates to say, this is not just HTML, this is a bit that's going to be populated from Python. So in there, we're going to say, see this little thing? Python's going to give this string that it's going to call hint, and we're going to put that in there, okay?
Question?
Yeah.
So you put it like over to say that this is where the other stuff is going to come in. Who is that directly talking to? Is it talking to the browser at that point?
No. So you'll see in the next slide, basically, the controller still grabs the template, shoves the bits in, and then sends the result back to the browser. So the controller's still holding on. In some things, like Ruby on Rails, that last step of merging the data into the template and sending it back to the browser, that is kind of implicit. You don't actually write code that does it, depending on the framework. But usually there is a statement that looks kind of like this statement, somewhere in your Java code or your PHP code or whatever, that says, I want to grab the template and I want to throw some data into it. So the template's sitting as a file inside your application, and in your Python code, you basically call template.render, and you give it a path, like, you know, the directories and folders and all that stuff, and then a file name, and that has the template, that has the text of the template. I mean, this is code you're running in your controller, in your Python, and you pass it a dictionary object. And in the dictionary object, you have a set of key value pairs, and the key is whatever you put in that template. You'll know it was called hint. And then there's another string, and this is what you want to substitute for hint. So this is the bit coming from Python. This is the name we named the little space inside our template. So that says, go get that template, find the little hint spot, and stick the string too low, do the replacement. Okay? But you and the controller decide to do this, which means if you don't do it, if you don't have this line in there, the template's not coming out. You pick the template in the controller, you cause the template data to be merged together in the controller, and then you take the result, which is this out string, which is the merge data, and then you send that back. So the controller still is involved. Some frameworks hide this bit, but not in App Engine. So the way you can think about this template render bit, this is a bit of code that Google wrote for us. And Google provides this, and it tells us what the rules are, of course. It tells us the rules for the syntax of what the templates are supposed to look like, and the fact that we're going to call it. So we'll take a look at what this really does. So the render engine is a bit of Python code. It's like a function. It's just a function call, like the string functions we've called, like the web app functions we've called. And it basically takes that render data, which is a key value set of key value pairs, and then it takes the template and it merges them all together and then gives you the output that we basically send. So as an example, the render data is this Python dictionary that has hint and then whatever we want to put in hint, and then the template sort of has this little hotspot, and the rest of it's just HTML, but it's got this hotspot. So these two things get sent into our grinding render engine. And what it really does is just goes and hunts for these things and sticks them in there. Now you could actually imagine, I could give you an assignment if I were diabolically evil. I could say, write a render engine. Because you could like do little string finds, looking for the thing. This reminds us of 539, where you're looking for strings and tearing things apart and putting other stuff in. You could absolutely do that, and if you know that could be a super advanced 502 assignment. It's just Python because you know how to look at strings and look for little double braces. Then look for this guy and use that as a key to look up in your dictionary and stick that in. It's a very simple concept. So our approach for doing this is we make a folder called templates, and we put these HTM files in templates. And I was showing you kind of that before lecture, showing you the folder structure, which I'll show you also again in a moment. And we have a bit of sort of ugly magical code that we use to get where the file is. I probably should color this better. So the first parameter to template render is a path to the template file. And so here's just some magic. I will explain the magic, but for now, just like trust the magic. So file path is a string. So file path is like C colon backslash desktop backslash AE06 backslash templates backslash index.htm. Just a big long thing, which is like that directory string, which is where your file's living. But we construct this by doing a special kind of string concatenation. This is the OS, is a module inside of Python that says concatenate these two parameters using the rules of file path naming. Now, if you're on a Unix or Apple box, you use forward slashes to put your folders together, and if you're on a Windows box, you use backward slashes. And so you can't just like put forward slashes in and backward slashes. This little OS path join knows when you're supposed to use forward slash and backward slash. It does it one way on Windows and another way on Unix and Mac. So that's really just a smart concatenation. That's all OS path join is. Templates backslash index.htm. That's not perfect because it actually, it's okay because it knows that that's really it fixes that. And then it says OS path dir name underscore underscore file underscore underscore. Underscore underscore file is a predefined constant inside of all Python running programs. And that is a constant, which is a string value. What is the full path of the file that we're currently in? So this is index.py. So OS path dir name is saying, what directory are we sitting in right now? Then it concatenates a folder name of template and a file name of index.htm. And again, you can really ignore that last 6 minutes of conversation and just put this line in over and over and over again, or learn it at your leisure. When it's all said and done, file path is a string that is the full specification of where your template's at, and this is a dictionary, and it does the render. Any questions? Yeah. This closing parenthesis here matches this one.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a function call. The join, OS path join is a function call. OS path dir name is also a function call inside of it. It is always wise to check for syntax errors in my slides. So this is how it sort of fits together in a whole program. So what this program is it's a version of your guessing game that uses templates instead of hard-coded Python constants in your Python code. And so basically, it's just, I don't have it all, so here's a post method within our web app. So that means that when the web app framework sees a post, it's going to put us right to here at the beginning. And we're going to use self-request get to pull the form parameter off of our form. Isn't that a lot nicer than string grokking the way we did in two assignments ago? Then we convert it to an integer. Now you'll notice I've threw away all the try except stuff because I want to fit it on a slide. So that converts our guess to integer. And again, like this week's assignment, I create a message rather than doing a print. Here I just say, you know, I'll check the guess, and the result of this block of code is the variable msg has the message in it. And stguess has the old guess in it. And so then I use this pattern where I say, I mean, just I'm following through in the, this is the last bit of my post method, right? This is just my post method here. At the end of this post method, I say temp equals blah, 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 guest.htm, which says I'm going to go find the guest.htm template in the templates folder that is a subdirectory, that's a folder right near the index.py. And then I'm going to take that thing and I'm going to render it, and I'm going to, where in the template there's a hotspot called hint, take the contents of the variable msg, so this msg is connected to here, and then wherever there's a string in the template for old guess, then put stguess in there, and then I still have the responsibility to write that out. So it's, in a sense, my Python code is still fully responsible for producing the response to the browser. I just happen to be using this template render to create that response for me. Any questions? Now it's kind of, we're getting to do something rather than just like most of the assignment is figuring out tech support issues. Okay, so if we follow this all through, our program starts. We'll go past the GET request to cause that first page to be produced. But then we type in 25 and we hit submit, and so we hit the POST method because it is a POST. And this value here as a string comes in as it's been named guest, not because the string says guest, but because the tag says guest. So it comes in and we got a string and we convert it to an integer, and then we come up with a message, and then we do this join stuff, and then we render it, and again message is coming from here and stguess is coming from here. Whoa, went right off the screen there. That's a really crappy scribbling. Okay, it'd be a lot easier if I was scribbling on the thing. That's what I need. I need like a super scribbler that I could scribble like that, make it a big whiteboard. So now, the point is this little Python dictionary of key value is then passed into the template. And if you look at my template, I've got two little hotspots. One hotspot named old guess and one hotspot named hint. And it just says go stick message where hint is and stguess where old guess is. And voila, the little orange bit that originally came from here comes out in this little orange area, and the hint comes out here. And so that produces the response. Now, really what's happening is the response is coming back and then being written to the browser from here, right? So it's not like that template goes straight to the browser. The template comes back as the return value for outstring, and then outstring by our controller is writing outstring back to the browser right here. Yeah?
I'm a little confused about what kind of things can go in the curly braces, because it looks like right now we just have strings in there, and for our purposes, is that what we're
going to
put in there?
Oh, no. Like in like 45 minutes, we'll be putting more stuff in there. Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you look on the back of the handout, you will see we're putting if statements in there. So there's logic. So the three kinds of things that we're going to tend to put, well, four things. One is strings. We can put simple if-then-elses in here. And we can actually have looping structures, which we will eventually do. And then there's these base things. We'll cover all those before the end of today's lecture. Yeah. Oh, you didn't get one. Anybody else need a handout? Two, right? Oh, two more here. Oh, okay. Pass those down. So you may have noticed I got a haircut since we last saw each other. I challenged the SI 502 class that if everyone in the class got 80 or better on the midterm, that I would shave my head. And they did. First time it's ever happened. First time it's ever happened. So, that's okay. I don't mind my hair this way, so it wasn't like this was a real terrible sacrifice. I sometimes wear my hair short, so it's not like a terrible sacrifice. I didn't agree to something that would make me really unhappy. It is the wrong time of year, though, to have done it. Okay, any more questions? Oh, yeah, okay, so I got your question, which was in the back of the handout. We will do more things. We'll learn this nasty little language, actually. It's actually really, it's kind of ugly. And what's even worse is if you think Python syntax errors are hard to find, these little template syntax errors, the messages that come out are just nasty. Okay, so just sort of as our convention, we tend to make within our application folder a subfolder for the templates. This is, you don't have to do this. The render call, you can actually give it any file name you want. You could stick them in an infinitely crazy place if you felt like it. But we tend to follow patterns as programmers so that we can look at each other's stuff really fast. And so the kind of pattern that they followed in all the Google samples was to call put these things in the templates folder. So I followed that. Now you can follow it. Now we can, and Ryan can follow it when he grades everything. There's don't get stuck on what's a rule and what's a convention. This is a convention, but it's a heavily followed convention, and life's better because of that. So we make a folder called templates, and we stick all of our HTML files in the templates. You might decide when your application gets even more complex to have subfolders within here for the different pieces of your application. But don't get stuck. Don't think that that has to be that way or somehow the render engine demands that. It is just a convention that we tend to follow, and you'll see that I follow it in all of my sample code. And I encourage you to follow it as well, just for mere sanity. So to kind of summarize these templates, is we're really taking HTML and splitting it out into a separate file with these little hotspots in it, and then we're doing this render process where we're giving the rendering engine what we want to put in, and the rendering engine essentially does string parsing on the templates and substitutes things as appropriate. Okay, so this AE05 templates is sort of working through the notion of more than one template. And so, as a matter of fact, and this AE05 is what you probably ought to start with, because you have the assignment where you made your HTML and CSS with your whatever, your dog or yourself or your club or whatever you made. And so your job is to shove that into this kind of a structure. So that instead of those being flat HTML files just coming off your hard drive straight to your browser, you're going to run those through your Python code. So real applications have lots and lots and lots of templates, right? They don't just have one or two. So now we're going to look at techniques for sort of managing and organizing templates. And so your application is supposed to look different than this, but my version of it has 3 pages, some navigation, no forms, and a bit of CSS to sort of move all the stuff around and make it look pretty. And so this is how this program looks like. So it the templates, again, I suggest for your assignment, you just rob AE05 templates and then change nothing but what's in templates and static. And I'll explain static in a second. So we're going to end up with 3 or 4 or 5 files. You're just your stock HTML files. Put them right in there. Because if you think about it, you don't have any hotspots in your current files that you're working with. It's okay to have templates that have no hotspots. And then you put your CSS in this folder static. Now let me talk about that static folder. So this is the first time we're going to change AppYAML, other than everything we've done so far in changing AppYAML has been just to change the name of this application each time we make a new one, so our little Google App Engine launcher doesn't get confused. So you pretty much, the pattern is, make a copy of your old thing, change that line, give it a new name. But now we're going to add a second handler. So in the AppYAML code, the bottom part will still be the same. So what the bottom part is saying is look at the incoming URL that everything's coming to, and slash dot asterisk is what's called a regular expression that says dot asterisk is means any characters. So anything starts with a slash, which all URLs do start with a slash, the path of the URL starts with a slash, send a script index.py. And so up till now, we've only had, here's my application and send everything to script.py. So you may have noticed that you can actually put long, ugly URLs in and it still goes to the same place because it just says whatever the URL is, send it to index.py. Now, it turns out that there can be more than one of these handlers, and it does them in order. And this sort of is a fall through. It says, you know, if none of these other ones matched, we'll send everything to index.py. Now, it turns out that it's very common in applications to have files like your CSS file that actually have no dynamic content at all. Image files, CSS files. What we can do for Google, when you put your code up on Google, you have certain limits, how much bandwidth you can use, how much CPU you can use, et cetera, et cetera. And you can tell Google that these CSS files and these image files are static. They're not going to change. So what that actually allows Google to do is it doesn't run your program to serve those files. It actually copies those files to some special servers that are scattered all around the world. So if you put the CSS in slash static and you tell Google App Engine that it is in slash static, that CSS will be cached, copies will be made wherever your application is used around the world, and it will cost you nothing in terms of CPU, in terms of compute, to serve those files up. And so it's an efficiency thing and a speed thing. So if your folks are using your application from South Africa, they can talk to Google servers in South Africa to pull your CSS, even though your index.py might be running in England, for all you know. So it can save you money. Now, probably you won't ever have to pay for your Google App Engine because your application, your mom and your prospective employers will be the only people that ever look at your page, but and so you won't have to pay. But if you were really trying to make a real application to use the Google infrastructure, then you might have to pay. So we add this little thing that basically says, if you see a URL that starts with slash static, send this to the directory static. This is the keyword, and this happens to be the directory that we chose. Now, as convention, everyone pretty much chooses static because it makes sense. So we'll make this change to say, that's what makes it so we can put our CSS in this static folder. And we could have put it, there's a number of ways we could have done this, but this putting it in the static folder and adding that line to our AppYAML is an efficiency, it's a way to make it more efficient. It just says, hey, you don't have to write any Python code to put this CSS out. So you'll notice when we look at the Python code, we're doing nothing in the Python code to serve up the CSS. Google has magically served that up for us because we've done this static thing. Okay. So here is the first thing that we've got to do to our index.py file, index.htm file. And again, you will have your own, but the only thing you've got to do is the only thing you change is, in the old days, in your assignment 3 or 4 or whatever it was, I think it's 3, you had glike.css as a relative URL as your CSS call. Now you have to change that to say slash static slash glike.css to say, pull this off my server from this slash static path. And then that goes into that static folder and it works. So the first thing you got to do to your things that all are including a relative path, when you move your CSS into that static folder, you'll have to make this change to your 3 or 4 HTM files. Okay? To say that CSS is coming from that static folder. Okay. So we're going to write some controller code now that is going to go grab a template. And we're going to take advantage of a little trick. And that is, if you go to a URL and do a GET or a POST request, it actually gives you the path from the URL. It parses it and gives it to you in a variable. Okay? And so we're going to use this to key off of what template to load. We're going to actually not make special code for each template, but we're just going to grab this path variable and look up the template based on the path variable. And if we don't find that path variable, we're going to go look up the index.htm template. So we're going to behave like most web servers, and that is they have some default file they give you, but then if you give a real file, then they'll feed that file to you. Ooh, I should change this. Ugh. I should change this slide. Okay. Go look on the first page of your handout. Okay, I'm changing this slide. It's just so terrible. Hang on. The colors won't be good. It'll take me a minute to change this slide. So the code we're looking at is on the front of your handout. Close enough. Okay, so now it looks much prettier. It looks like your handout. and there we go. Okay, so if we type this into our browser URL window with /topics.htm, it's going to do a GET request, because when you type something in the browser and hit enter, it does a GET request. And so it comes into your GET method, and there is a predefined variable, self-request path. Okay, and that self-request path is the web app framework parses this and pulls it apart and gives you everything from the slash onwards. So it's /topics.htm. Then what we're going to do, this is using a percent instead of concatenation, but oh well. So then it does an OS path join. It gets the directory name of the current file, and then it takes this path variable, I should have made that purple, and it concatenates it to template slash path. And so this basically turns into the current working directory slash templates slash topics.htm. And that ends up in temp. Let's do this. Let me fix this. Let me put something else on this slide. Well, this turned out to be a really awesome slide. It's worth it. It's worth it. Such an awesome slide now. I love colors. Okay, so when it's all said and done, there we are. When it's all said and done, temp is going to look like this. You know, user, CSEV, desktop, AE05 templates, slash templates, slash topics.htm. This part here is the current working directory of the index.py file, which is what this little cruddy thing is. Templates comes from the string, and then path comes from the suffix of the URL. And ospath join just gloms them all together to make this one thing. But that's what temp is. It's that string. It's the absolute path name of the template file when it's all said and done. Then, I do an if test. Ooh, scribbling on the wrong side here. Come back, scribbling over here. Then I do an if test here, and I am actually asking with os.pathfile, does this file name that I just constructed exist? And in this case, it's going to. But if I say gorp.htm, and I don't have a file in there called gorp.htm, then that file won't exist. Then what it basically does is it reconstructs the same path, except it goes to index.htm. So this code will either, if the template exists that is equal to the name of the path, then it will get that file. Otherwise, it's going to do the index.htm. In the case of, say, slash, when you give it a slash and nothing else. So that's what this code's purpose is. Check the path, see if there's a template with the same as the name of the path. If there is, great, use that. If there's not, render up index.htm. Any questions on the top half? And again, you're looking at it right here, right? So once I have that file name, which is this file name here, then I'm going to have the template code read that file and take, and it's a little tacky when I name these things the same name, but you'll have to get used to that. This is the first thing is the code that I'm using in the template, and this is the variable, which equates to this little string right here. So the second one is a variable from Python. The first one is the string in the template. Then I render it, and I get the merged up stuff, and then I write it out as my response. Any questions? Okay, at a high level, what's kind of going on is here, right? We grab this path, we're grabbing the current directory, adding templates to it, and then adding the path, which is going to find this topics.htm file in the templates folder, and then pull that out, pass some data in, and do the rendering, and then print the final combined stuff together, right? So this is the combined stuff all together. Okay? So all this OSPath join is just to get to the point where we can open this little file sitting right here based on the URL that we typed. Now, if you look at the code, it also is going to do a second GET request. So now we have, you'll see that it does first the GET request for the topics.htm or index.htm, but in there you've got a CSS reference that says get that. And so you'll notice as you watch your log now, it will go grab index.htm, and then instant later the browser will look at your HTML that it received and it will do another get request for the CSS file. Then it's doing get slash sites.htm, and it reads sites.htm and it has to grab the CSS again. So now we're seeing this sort of the thing where in the bottom of your browser it says like 40 of 53 items retrieved. What you'd see here if it was slow enough is you'd see one of two items retrieved, two of two items retrieved, because you retrieved an HTML that itself had a reference. Now as you add images, it'll go from two things retrieved to three things retrieved to four things retrieved, and sooner or later it'll get ugly and you'll be like Facebook retrieving 40 things. But for now, this is sort of like when it says retrieving one of two items on the bottom of your web browser. Any questions? Okay, let's take a break and come back in